If you'll recall, I made the observation that when Adam and Eve were created, Eve was created and then brought to Adam for his judgment. That's what it says in the Old Testament. And that means that God set up in Eve certain inclinations for her appearance so that she would be suitably judged. And those inclinations are rightly ordered for women. This is one of the reasons why it's good to have women take care of the home, because they're more likely to make sure it's properly arranged, etc. Because of this inclination that they have. The main thing is that you don't want it to go to excess or defect. But this sets up also a specific set of roles or relationships that they actually have. When Eve was created, she was presented to Adam for his approval. There is a certain psychology, therefore, that is suited for women to wear makeup and jewelry that's not suited to men. Because why? Makeup and jewelry changes the appearance to make it more suitable or pleasing, and so it's something that's more proper to women because of the fact that they were created with this inclination, so it suits that inclination. Whereas guys, their inclination to be worried about their appearance shouldn't have to do with, you know, is she going to like the way I looked at it? If he's thinking on that, we've already got a problem. But his appearance is more ordered towards, it's a means for him. So, you know, I have to look orderly for my sake of my work. I have to, you know, have a pleasant appearance so that my clients, when they see me, they don't think I'm a nut, you know, that type of thing. So it's a different kind of thing. Therefore, generally speaking, men should not wear makeup. Now, there are some exceptions, like, for instance, in theater or on TV, you have to wear a certain amount of it so that you don't bleach your face out, etc. And also, in the theater, it's necessary to paint a specific picture of the person's state, and so they'll do that. That is perfectly acceptable because he's not doing it to adorn himself so he looks pretty. He's doing it for a specific function. Also, the same thing applies for jewelry. It's not suited for a man to wear jewelry except in one instance, that is, as a manifestation of some excellence. So, for example, a wedding ring is being an excellence. Being in a sacramental bond is an excellence. And so that's why he wears a ring. Also, as an indication to other people, you know, sorry, I'm taking goods. But the fact is that's its manifestation. A bishop will wear a pectoral cross or a ring as a sign of his office and things like that. But anyway, that's why they don't wear, because it's not suited to them as who and what they are. So it's not the place of men to be the fairer sex. And by fair, we mean not only just that they're more modest in the sense of, you know, generally speaking, women are softer and kinder and things of that sort in their personalities. That's fine, but, and that's the way they're supposed to be, but that's not suited to men. But it also means fairer sex in the sense of the better looking sex. The fact of the matter is that when you take objective standards of beauty and apply it to women, they simply meet them better than men do, as far as external beauty. Internal beauty is a whole different ball game. But here we're talking about external beauty. But it's not appropriate for men to try to be the fairer sex in that respect. It's effeminate, basically, and that's why they shouldn't do it. So what about the morality of makeup? Inevitably, there's always somebody who says, you know, because certain traditionalists will say, well, what about makeup? You know, we shouldn't be wearing any makeup. Sometimes this becomes because of the fact that they read something from St. Augustine, where St. Augustine just categorically condemns all makeup, period. But there's a specific reason for that, and I want to get into that a little bit. For those who are unmarried, nothing prohibits the accentuation of some beauty bestowed on them by God by the use of makeup. Now, here we're talking about women, of course. For those who are married, it is proper to a woman to wear jewelry as a form, or makeup as a form of adornment to please her husband. The moralists talk about that a lot, how it's a suited and good thing for her to try and please her husband through these things, which is kind of ironic, because usually when women get married, the first thing they do is their hair goes all over the place, and they wake up the next morning and they're like, mm-hmm. Okay. Makeup must be done according to a due manner, however. Hence, makeups which alter the appearance of someone so that their true beauty or lack of it cannot be ascertained sin through the sin of simulation. And that's what St. Augustine was getting after. Simulation is similar to lying. Lying is saying the false in order to deceive. That's its definition. Simulation is doing the false in order to deceive. So the thing they have in common is the deception. But one is done in speech, saying, the other one is in your actions. So for example, If you see some guy drive by in a white car going that way, and a police officer comes up and says, did you see which direction the white car went? And you point the opposite direction, that's called simulation. There's another name for that. It's called hypocrisy. Because what your external appearance is has nothing to do with what your interior state or what you know to be the truth is. But this is simulation. Now, this is the problem with excessive makeup. It's simulation. Because what it does is it masks the ugly, for a lack of a better way of putting it. So the point is that you can women can use makeup as long as it doesn't alter the appearance in such a way that it cannot be, the actual appearance cannot be ascertained. And that's the principle that St. Augustine. The second thing is, it must... Yes.
I'm sorry, could you help me with that one a minute?
Yeah.
You can give an example that, what if a woman has maybe an ugly scar?
Oh yeah, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. Because that's a legitimate question. Let me give you an example. I used to know this girl. She was a very good girl. When we were in college, she wore so much makeup that you literally could not ascertain what she looked like. And when the first time I saw her without, I'm like,
scared.
Yeah. So this is a case of modifying it. But so the point is the makeup, you can accentuate, but you can't alter the appearance. Now that's a very, very fine line. Anyway, moderation is required. Too much makeup is a manifestation of a lack of modesty. The use of makeup must not stem from any other vice. And this is another thing that St. Augustine was wary of. It cannot proceed from pride or vainglory or from any other inordinate desire for beauty. The moral of the story is that people should just be happy with what God gave you. Men's use of makeup outside of theater is disordered, as A, it is contrary to custom. And St. Thomas's custom has force of law. And it is not men's place to be the fair, better-looking gender, as I mentioned, and so it is incongruous or effeminate to do so. It is not appropriate for men to seek the same types of approval that women do. God set us up differently for specific reasons, and we can thank God for it. And it's not a good idea to try and blur the distinctions. The use of makeup to restore the order of nature is permitted, and in some cases may be necessary in order to avoid admiratio. Now, admiratio, you guys might have heard me mention this from the pulpit. It's translated as wonder in English. And so in other words, suppose you have that scar on the face. She can cover it in order to restore the order what nature would normally have. The same thing applies even for men if it's the type of thing that, you know, like if there's some deformity, if it's going to draw undue attention to himself or something like that, if it's just a minor scar or something like that, he should just be a man and deal with it. But it, nothing says that they can't restore the order of nature. What would nature normally intend in this case, you know, that you don't have the scar, that it's normal features? That is acceptable. And in some cases, it may actually be necessary. If it's the type of thing that every time someone sees you, like, what is that on your face? You know, well, okay, then maybe you should do something to cover it up a bit. Okay, but that's so they can restore the order of nature. So what about men and jewelry? Again, it's proper to women to wear jewelry as a form of adornment for her husband or to accentuate some aspect of her beauty and appreciation of what God has given her. But it must be done in moderation, otherwise she sins by excess, so it's immodest. Because of the same argument of makeup, and so the same principles regulate jewelry as does makeup, with one exception. So she can wear jewelry, provided it doesn't change anything. Piercing of certain body parts is a grave sin, and in itself is disordered. It does not enhance one's beauty, but deforms it. So things like, you know, the people who have the bone through their nose and that type of thing.
Does ear piercing come into that category also?
It's not a grave sin, no.
And then also, by the way, you're talking about men with jewelry, are you also including watches? Are watches okay?
Oh, yeah, no, watch isn't a piece of jewelry. Jewelry is something that's purely decorous. But, I mean, the watch can turn into a piece of jewelry, but that's not what I'm getting at. But certain body parts are grave matter. You can't do that. One of the clearest manifestations of the lack of modesty in relation to piercing is when people come to the communion rail with a stud in their tongue, which has been pierced. This is a clear lack of modesty, aside from the motivations for even piercing your tongue. But it does not understand the virtue of decorum, which indicates if you're going to receive God, you don't come to Holy Communion with a stud in your tongue. And I've seen that. You have to tell people, take it out, and then come back to the communion rail. Since it is not suitable for men to wear makeup for the same reasons as I mentioned relationship to Adam and Eve, it is not appropriate for them to wear jewelry unless the jewelry has a specific significance or reference in relationship to some office or excellence. Part of the problem is, too, is with men and women wearing the same kinds of jewelry and the same kind of makeup and now the same kind of everything, there's a certain androgyny that's starting to happen. Androgyny is the characteristic in which it has characteristics of both male and female. You see people walking down the street and you're like, is that a man? A woman? You know, sometimes you can't quite figure out what it is. And there should, a person should, one of the natural inclinations we have is the preservation of our being as it is. Which means there's a natural inclination to want to remain male and to remain female if you're female. So that in point in fact, they should get a certain delight out of being female and a certain delight out of being male. And why people want to be like each other, or the opposite thing, just, I don't quite figure that one out. It's contrary to natural inclination. This fostering of androgyny is one of the primary reasons why men are not to wear jewelry or to make makeup, because there should be a clear delineation between the genders for the sake of the moral and cultural codes, as well as education of both children and adults. Tattooing is a sin against justice insofar as it is a form of mutilation. It's against that first category of natural inclination, which God put in us. But it is also against modesty insofar as it is an external that is not proper to a human being. Tattoos are only permitted when there is some grave necessity for it. For example, in the military, if it is necessary to identify a soldier because he is in some type of operation which could cause the loss of his known identity. Or in prisoners. Now, usually when you say that, people are like, oh, Auschwitz. No, that was just an abuse of a legitimate right of the state. Since the state has a right to the execution of prisoners, they also have a right to the lesser, that is, St. Thomas says, to mutilation. Although, these things have to be there for the common good. You just don't go around mutilating prisoners if you like it. It has to be there for the sake of the common good. There has to be just reason for tattoos, and that even applies to prisoners. Once a person has had himself tattooed, he is not required to restore the order of nature by having them removed unless the tattoos by their very nature cause admiratio, because it cannot properly be covered. In other words, if you can just cover it with sleeves or something, then that's what you do. And some types of tattoos are just immoral. I mean, what they have on them is immoral, so you have to do something with them. Original sin often makes us the concern which women have for their appearance excessive and disordered, and so women must seek moderation and self-denial in this regard. There is a distinction between what is permitted, that is, there's a distinction between a woman wearing makeup is not sinful, just as a woman wearing pants is not sinful, even though people are running around saying I said that, I did not say that. It's not sinful. In fact, certain slacks are actually more modest than certain dresses, as Cardinal Siri pointed out. But just as one thing is permitted, that's not necessarily what is the perfection. So I usually tell women that the perfection actually consists, in case of modesty in relationship to makeup and jewelry, in more on the side of defect than excess, obviously. And it also will help if a woman uses less of it to safeguard modesty, humility regarding vainglory, and appreciation for God's providence regarding the looks which he has bestowed on her. So it's a good thing to actually develop and foster a certain kind of appreciation for what God has given her.